Jesus is coming soon. You believe it? We come today from Nebraska, that hot spot of vacation. I know many of you wish you could be vacationing right now in Lincoln, Nebraska. You miss the ice storms, the snow, walking on a sidewalk and slipping, that kind of thing. It's just, you just can't do it here in Florida. Sometime, if you really think ahead and plan ahead, you can come to Lincoln, Nebraska, too, in January. And, you know, if you'd love to see your dog or cat with blue ears and just, you know, quivering there, bring your pet along on your vacation, too. Well, we have spent 10 years in the Middle East in Turkey. And it was an adventure. Somebody said you hope that going abroad would be a grand adventure for the Lord. And can you imagine when I got a phone call and it was a newly appointed conference leader in the area? He said, "Byard, we have heard a report that there are over a dozen Iranians in the east of Turkey that are keeping the Sabbath. Would you go out and meet with them?" Man, would I go out and fight? He says, "We don't know anything about them. Would you go out and discover who these people are and what's going on?" What an opportunity. I flew out there and I meet this group, and sure enough, somebody had learned of the Sabbath and they traveled up to Armenia, and then they'd gotten taught by some Canadian expat who was there, and then he had moved to Turkey, and then he'd begun to teach these Iranians, who some of them had actually escaped from Iran because they'd wanted Jesus so badly, taken to jail, escaped from persecution there, and now assembling in the east of Turkey, Sabbath after Sabbath. Hallelujah! They're saying to me, "We'd like to be baptized, Pastor. Could you teach us?" And so we began going through our doctrines together. Now, how do I baptize these people in Turkey? You know, it's not just an easy thing to go out into a Muslim country and baptize. And our particular territory on the western side, we'd always go to an isolated beach and baptize people in the ocean. But here I was in an unknown city, and we began to look around for a place to baptize, and we found a city park that had a water pool that was about this deep. And we said, maybe we could do this in the middle of the afternoon. So we had our church service in their house, and then we all prepared, and we went out to this park, and there was the city commissioner waiting for us, heard of our plans, and said, "I cannot allow you to do this in this pool." He said, "But I will help you." He said, "Come and I will take you up to the mountain where there is a reservoir." And so half our Iranian group got in his car and half came with another car, and we went up, and there was just ice cold water. I mean, it was just totally freezing. And we all got in there. You know, those Iranians, 12 of them, they only had to stay in there 1/12th of the time that I had to stay in there. But it was a high day. I tell you, missions is at a peak right now. In the last 10 years, there have been baptized more Muslims than have been baptized in the previous 600 years. This is a time, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. They say that about 50% of the conversions from Islam right now are happening at a first step through dreams and visions. Now, who's the evangelist there? That's the Holy Spirit. He is going out. Jesus is going out and speaking to people. We have a Turkish man that's staying in Lincoln right now. He's my closest friend in Turkey and has come to the United States. And then there was the coup in Turkey. Some of you have followed politics, and there's been bombings and things. And so he's stayed in Nebraska close to us. Very godly Muslim man. Prays so much that he actually has a callus on his forehead from where he does his faithful prayers 5 times a day. This man said to me just a few months ago, to my wife and I, he said, "I had a dream, brother." He said, "I saw your mother." My mother passed away 2 years ago. He said, "I saw your mother in this dream. And she was holding an ornamented white robe and holding it out to me. And she said, 'Put this on, put this on. Quickly, time is short.'" Jesus is doing something unusual among Muslim people right now on earth. And I cannot wait to see how this whole thing explodes. You know, we're only 24 million Seventh-day Adventists or 20 million Seventh-day Adventists around the world. We take pride in being 20 million. It's taken a long time to get to that point. But can you imagine when a billion Muslims, when the gospel begins to penetrate and percolate and people begin giving their lives to Christ within these mosques and jamis around the world? What a day! Oh man, our 20 million is just going to seem like nothing as we get 200 million people coming out of Islam saying, teach me about Jesus Christ. Oh man, what a day it will be. Well, this afternoon, whether you're a parent or a youth leader or just a person who loves mission, I invite you to come to this seminar, Grow a World Changer. If you want a different perspective, a different paradigm of how we can work with your young people and to be not just average. You know, we have a lot of people who think, if I can just keep my child in church, I'll be happy. Hey, why not have your child be a world changer and do something for the Lord? If you don't want to see your child just beaten up by the devil, but want to see your child beat up on the devil, you come this afternoon to Grow a World Changer. You got two options. You have your child a world changer or a changed by the world. And God has given us a great commission, and we can infuse and instill a passion in our kids that will not only just keep them in the church, but make them an agent for God, a flame of fire. Those of you also who would be interested, currently for Adventist Frontier Missions, we came back from Turkey, where we've planted a church, actually established the first legal Seventh-day Adventist church in Turkey. Turkey is a country of 75 million people, and we arrived there. There were 14 native Turkish Seventh-day Adventists. That's a need for missionaries. I call any of you who would like to go. You could teach in a university and get a job like that and be an agent. We call this a tent maker. Somebody would get a job in the country and then use that job to make friends and start a little house church. And that's what I'm doing right now, is training people. How can you start a house church in a place like Morocco or Algeria or Tunisia? We're sending professionals, chemical engineers, professors, scientists, these type of people. We've got one, we've got graphic designers. People get a job in a place where we have very few Seventh-day Adventists. The whole Middle East right now, if you can imagine a territory, the whole United States population, 320 million, the Middle East, North Africa, population 350 million people, we have 3,200 Seventh-day Adventists in that whole area. Now, if the United States only had 3,000 Seventh-day Adventists, don't you think somebody, wouldn't you say to the Philippines or Brazil, hey, send us some missionaries, send us some help. We got a great need, friends, and we need people to think different, to begin to encourage your children not to learn German and French, learn Arabic, learn Chinese, learn Turkish, because we got to be strategic. This is the last days, and God is calling us to do unusual things in a day like this. If you would be interested in going as a tent maker or taking a job abroad with a big company like Microsoft, Google, or some of these companies, come up. You can get one of these afterwards. It's GoTential. We got Go, the Great Commission, Tent, which is a tent maker, like Paul. You know, Paul had a job. He made tents. That's how he got his income. And then he did mission work on the side. GoTential.org. You could come and get one of these after the service. Sermon today, why you should take your pleasure in mission. Why you should take your pleasure in missions. Let's bow our heads for prayer, shall we? Our great God and King, we thank you this day that we can be in this church that is already passionate and eager to serve you. I pray, Lord, that you would speak again through your holy word. Rest your Holy Spirit here over this pulpit and in the pews, that each individual would interpret and take the calling that is laden in these words. Thank you, Jesus. In thy name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask my wife if she'd just give me a little water there. Thanks. Brought this from Nebraska. It's melted by now, you know. Boy, you guys got to love it down here in Florida. I know it's an amazing place. It's a bit of heaven you have here. It's a bit of heaven. The tinkle of coins was loud and echoing in the church. If you could imagine a Romanian village that was far from any major road. People had walked up to 8 miles on this particular Sabbath just to get to church. It was a small wooden church, and it was an old church, and the pews had been painted white and long peeled from years of use. But the church was packed. Unusually, the church was cold this Sabbath day, and there in the corner was a coal stove, but it sat empty. And it was the delight of the congregation, because this Sabbath they had used the money that they would have normally filled the coal stove with coal, and it was for missions. And so the cold felt good, because they knew they were doing some good. They were sacrificing. The pastor had arranged for these poor people, rich in the Spirit of God, these poor people whose average income was $170 a month, had arranged through email that they could support a Bible worker in Myanmar. And the chatter among the Romanians was, can you imagine us, poor people in Romania, having influence in Myanmar? This was a high Sabbath. It was their mission Sabbath, and they were going to be introduced to their Bible worker through an email this day. They had saved up their coins, and the offering plate was being passed. A student missionary was there on that day to record the event, and her language was a little rough, but there was a boy who could speak English, and she leaned over to this boy, and she said to him, to this Romanian boy, are you into missions? And he looked up at her, and eyes twinkling, he said, yes, ma'am, missions is our pleasure. It is our pleasure. That's why I like Meadow Springs Church. I can see it is your pleasure as well. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 15. You know, when Jesus comes into the heart, his pleasures become our pleasures. And the things that Jesus enjoys become the things that we enjoy. Romans 15, 25 and 26, Paul is making his plans. And he says that he's on his way to Jerusalem. For however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, Romans chapter 15, verses 25 and 26. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the saints there, for Macedonia and Achaia, those poor churches in Macedonia, those Gentiles that Paul had converted, they were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Verse 27, they were pleased to do it. Pleased to do it. Those poor people, generous to help the church in Jerusalem. Turn for a minute to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 14. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verses 1 through 4. We see a similar passage about these Macedonian churches. Now, how did these Macedonians become Christians anyway? Did they have a long-standing tradition of Judaism? These are Gentile peoples given their heart to Christ. And listen to Paul as he boasts about these poor churches. And now, brothers, this is 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 4. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. Verse 5, and they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urged Titus, since we had an earlier made a beginning, to bring also to contemplation this act of grace on your part. Verse 7, but just as you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge, in complete earnestness and in your love for us, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. Hallelujah. Wow, these tech people are really good. That's fast. I didn't give them that text ahead of time. It's your pleasure. I'm sure it's your pleasure. Can you imagine these Macedonian people poor and pleading to give more out of their poverty giving? Okay, why should you take your pleasure in missions? I got five points. We're going to go through them quickly here. 5 points. Why should you take your pleasure in missions? First of all, because missions is Jesus' pleasure. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus, the pleasure to go on the Father's will. Yes, Father, I will go down to earth and I will serve men. Can you imagine Jesus agreeing to that kind of assignment? Turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. What did Jesus have to leave the pleasures of heaven to come down and be a missionary here to our earth? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Says this, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, this is the pleasure of missions. Jesus saw this cross. That's the diarrhea. That's the hardship, no sleep. That's the travel of missions. That's the endurance of torture or pain, or for some people actually jail time. That's hardcore missions. Adventist Frontier Missions knows what it is to suffer. We have sent people down into New Guinea 180 miles from the nearest road. That's real missions. And Jesus had the cross in front of him. And there were nights on the dusty roads. There were places where he had no place to sleep or lay his head. And yet he knew he was headed to that cross. Why? The Bible says because of the joy before him. What's the joy before Jesus? It's you. It's you. And it's those people in Turkey and India. It's those people in Cambodia and Myanmar. To be together with people, he would endure the suffering. Why should we take our pleasure in missions? Because Jesus has his pleasure in missions. Philippians 2:6 says that he did not see the pleasures of heaven as worth retaining, that we should be lost. Can you imagine if we would be lost and he would have stayed in heaven? Can you imagine if somebody is lost in India or Pakistan because you bought a new Suburban? That's the paradigm we're talking about, is that it's a trade-off. And Jesus didn't see it as a good trade. Here we are in a land of Disneyland down here, Disney World. And it's a different world altogether. You go in and there's clean parking lot. I haven't been there for a lot of years, but I remember as a kid, they used to have bushes that were like shaped like Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse, you know? It's a different world. And there in Epcot Center, you know, they have all these different global villages. They've got Japan and China and Mexico, and you step into this different world. But there's one thing that Disney World wasn't brave enough to do. They didn't insert their, in the global village, Chad. They didn't insert their Somalia. There is no Haiti. Yeah, you'll see people dressed like Moroccan dancers or like Minnie Mouse, but they don't hire people to walk around with a leg blown off like people would do in Cambodia. Why? Because you see, they want in that environment for you to have the feeling of a real experience without the reality. And Jesus could have just mentally blocked out the suffering and stayed up in heaven. Heaven really is a galactic Disneyland, isn't it? And yet Jesus decided not to live without reality. And Jesus became a what? A missionary. There in heaven, the angels feasting and playing on the sea of glass and snorkeling in the river of life. It would have been wonderful, except for there would have been one thing missing. People, and people who have a living testimony of rescue from sin. Hallelujah. The problems of earth were real to Jesus, real enough that he became one of us, to live among us. Reason number one that you should take your pleasure from missions is because Jesus does. Reason number two is because the need is so great. You see, we have in this world about 7,500 languages. Now, how does the gospel get transferred? We have to. Merhaba, good night in Kardeş Ler. Biz ben çok mutluyum bu sabah seninle konuşabilirim. Çok çok senelerce önce Türkçe bilmedim. Fakat ha Rab beni öğretti. You didn't understand any of that, huh? That's Turkish. How does the gospel get transferred from one person to another? Through the word, the spoken word. We have in this world 7,500 languages. If a man who speaks one language is standing next to a gospel spirit-filled person who doesn't speak his language, is that gospel going to transfer? Probably not. He can smile. He can ooze. But we got to know that language. And so there's work to be done. The need is so great for people to go and learn the languages. This Seventh-day Adventist message is gone and gone and gone. We're now up to 1,500 languages. Hallelujah! But that means there are thousands who are isolated in a bubble of their own hearing, which means they cannot hear the gospel until somebody learns that language, or somebody from them goes out. Can we expect the Buddhist? Okay, Buddhist man, you come from Tibet and learn our language so that you can then become a Christian and go back. Is that the obligation of the lost man? Or is it the obligation of the Holy Spirit man to learn Tibetan? The need is great. You know, there are 38 cities in our world, from 1 to 7 million people. Those are big cities. 38 with no known Seventh-day Adventist. Not one. Morocco, 29 million people, 24 languages, 0 churches. My family and I moved to a city of 1,300,000 people in the middle of our time in Turkey. We were so tired and so worn out. We just said, could we just move away for a while and just study language. And our AFM said, okay, we'll let you do that. So we packed up our car and we said, we're going to move for 3 months to a city that's on the coast that has no Seventh-day Adventist presence. And that way, because I was the pastor of the church and I was just getting worn out working with all the people that we had drummed up there, and I just needed time out. And so we drove to this faraway city called Antalya. And on the way to this city, we're going down through the mountains, coming close to the city, and my phone rings. Hello? It was a young man. Hello, I learned your name from Facebook. I have a friend on Facebook who knows a Seventh-day Adventist, and I would like to meet a Seventh-day Adventist. Do you know any Seventh-day Adventists that live in Antalya? I'm 15 minutes from arriving in a city that we never had any Adventists before, and this kid is calling me. He had researched all different, he'd come out of Islam, come into a Sunday church, first came into Jehovah's Witnesses, then into Sunday Protestantism, now wants to know about Adventism, and he finds through this some circuitous route my name and number, and now here I am. The Lord had intervened in such a way that some Protestants had arranged for us a house in the city, and that house in this giant, colossal city ends up being just 5 minutes from this young man's house. We give him Bible studies. He's a brilliant young man, wants to study in our seminary now. Hallelujah. That city that had no Seventh-day Adventist, by God's grace, in a short 3-month time period where I wanted a reprieve and my wife needed some rest, we ended up starting a house church, and now there's a church of 12 people in the city. Could you go? Could you perhaps take a job somewhere else in the world and see the wonder of the Holy Spirit? What does God have plans for you in your retirement? In your youth? Well, reason number two, your pleasure should be in missions, is the need is so great. Number three is because you are a kingdom citizen. A kingdom citizen. And you know, every country has its own culture, unique culture. I love the Korean culture, where these women dressed in kimonos, and I they bow so beautifully. It's a beautiful culture. I went to Japan when I was young, and I couldn't believe I went on a mountain hike, and here comes this elementary school on a field trip, and every child had a yellow raincoat and white gloves. You know, just like Mickey Mouse wears those white gloves, these little children had white gloves, and they're on a field trip out in nature walking in the mountains. That's culture, you know? It's a wonderful thing. In Turkey, they have a culture of kissing each other, and you know, you just go up, and this big burly man with a mustache, you know, like Velcro, pulls you in, kisses you on both cheeks. It's just different. We sit on the floor in Turkey and eat our meals, and they put a big tray, and there's a pot of beans and a pot of yogurt, and then they pass out spoons to everybody, and everybody eats out of a single pot. Different culture, a different way of doing things. I'm going through the middle of a Turkish city, and I see this guy selling some kind of juice. People are lined up, they're paying money, and everybody's one cup, you know, drinking out of this cup, and then they put the cup upside down, and then the next person takes that. I'm like, what is this juice? I smell it. It's pickle juice. What is that? It's culture, you know? Well, you see, heaven has a culture as well. You guys are developing a culture here in your church. It's a family culture. It's greeting people. It's getting to know one another. It's reaching out beyond your boundaries. It's a culture of generosity. You're supporting student missionaries. That's a culture. You've got a living one. Well, heaven has a culture as well. Angels have a mission. You see, no, angels are not just for a protection squad assigned to keep us from falling off rickety bridges. They are missionaries. Angels protect so that one more day so that a person has one more day to come to Christ. They protect us so that if they've saved us, we have the opportunity to go out and proclaim the gospel to somebody else. Missions is the culture of heaven. If you want to fit into heaven, you got to be a missionary. You got to be into service. Jesus showed us the culture of heaven when he washed the disciples' feet, right? He was showing, this is how things operate in my kingdom. We go low, low. That's what we do here as heavenly citizens. So Jesus brought heaven's culture to us. The angels, what are they into? You see, they don't have a TV guide. There's no scoreboards in heaven. They're not into football. No surfboards, not into surfing. No motherboards, not into computers. No ironing boards. They have mission boards. That's what angels are into, mission boards. And they are continually sending out people and coordinating salvation for people. So, you say, Bayard, that's my name. Bayard, are you saying that if I'm not into missions, that I'm out of step with heaven? Yeah, that's true. If you're not into missions, you're not into the things that are of interest to God. So someone's into football. Does that mean that they're a pro player? No. Does it mean that they watch football, they spend time with football, and money on football? Yes. So what does it mean to be into missions? Does it mean that you got to be a pro missionary? You got to go to Mongolia? No. It means that you're spending your time on missions, your interests on missions. You're putting some money into missions because that's your interest, right? My grandma is an inspiration to me. She's passed away now, but she was into missions big time. And she couldn't go anywhere. She never left the United States. But she determined when she was about 75 that she could sow, and she was going to use this gift for the work of God. She began to sow rabbits, bunnies. And she would sew and sew these bunnies, so cute with little floral dresses, you know, and their hair and fluffy things. And then she would go and take a bundle of these rabbits, and she would sit in a restaurant like Perkins or something like that on a Sunday morning. And people would get out of church, and they would flood into these restaurants, these breakfast restaurants, and there would be my grandma, white hair, surrounded by these lovely, cute little rabbits. And they would say, oh, these are adorable rabbits. And she'd say, they're for sale, and all the money goes to missions. Like $35, $35, $35. My grandma raised $17,000 for mission activity. Hallelujah. What do you got to do to be into missions? It's your focus, it's your dream, it's your passion, your plans. That's what it's all about. So why should you take your pleasure in missions? Jesus has got his pleasure. The need is great. You're a kingdom citizen, and the kingdom culture is missions. Number four, it's because you should have your pleasure in missions because the truth is so good. You know, as Adventists, we have a great message. We have a Savior who has redeemed us, who's lifted this burden of sin off of our shoulders. The truth is so good in Christ. We got to share this with other people. Oh, I wish I had more time. Well, I do. I've got this afternoon seminar. Please come. I wish I could tell you the story about Osman and Figen. I just jumped to the punchline. These people had come out of Islam and found Christ, but were unsatisfied that the Bible was teaching them something more. And so they began keeping the Sabbath day on their own in their house. For 2 years, they didn't know that there was another Sabbath keeper in the world. And there they are in Turkey. And one day, some Pentecostal missionaries taunted them and said, oh, you're keeping the Sabbath. If you want to keep the Sabbath, you should become a Seventh-day Adventist. my friend hears this, Seventh-day Adventist, at the time he wasn't my friend, he Googled it, found our group in Turkey, and wrote us a letter, and we go to his house, and there I am studying the Bible through in Revelation 12, and the last verse of Revelation 12, what does it say? And the dragon was wroth with the woman who went off to make war against the remnant of her seed, those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. At that moment, this man, Osman, he jumps up. I said, you see, there's a people who keep the commandments of God. It all came together for him. He jumps up and he just embraces me. He said, I knew there was a family. We are yours and you are ours. Oh, why should we take our pleasure in missions? Because the truth is so good. Why should we take our pleasure? Because point five, the last great events of this earth's history will be missionary events. You see it coming. The world is all shaping up, and yeah, we can talk about earthquakes, and we can talk about, you know, fire coming down here, and the cataclysmic political, geopolitical. No. You see, from God's perspective, all that's the extra. All of the destruction and all of this stuff, that's not His stuff. He's into people, the rescue and saving of people. When suddenly India rises up and begins to turn from its demonic interests towards Christ interests, and Islam, tired of what ISIS is doing, turns and begins to look at Christ, and we see this wellspring of people turning their eyes to Jesus. Oh, what a day! China. Now we have over 400,000 Seventh-day Adventists in China. Can you imagine when those fearless people, one woman, I met this lady, she's leading 80 house churches herself. Those kind of people come out and become missionaries. What a day. Oh, the end of times, it's going to be phenomenal. Yeah, going through the airport, I saw my closing message right there. It said, something to declare, nothing to declare. Two doors. That's it, saints. We got two doors. Are you going to enter the last days with nothing to declare or with something to declare? Oh, you got something to declare? Let it be known. Speak it out. Tell your neighbors. Get involved in missions. I'm going to invite my wife to come forward, and she is going to sing for us a special song. This song, your ears are not going bad. It's in Turkish. This song is the Lord's Prayer. And as she sings the Lord's Prayer, you remember Jesus' words, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." That's what missions is all about. Christ's kingdom coming and His will being sovereign over this earth.